lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, the first three stanzas, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee. I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 203.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of the Bible and there of Genesis chapter 28. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to thee to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven, who art holy and separated from all sin and from all vanity and from all evil, and thou who dost require it of thy creatures, and we attempt to draw nigh to thee in thy house of prayer, and we ask of thee thy presence and thy nearness also in this hour, but we are so undeserving thereof. And then how canst thou come in the presence of such people as we are, and with such hearts as we have, that are so cleaving to all that is sin and carnal and empty, and thou art holy and cannot dwell with sin? And yet we have read of thy servant Jacob, that he was a guilty man, and thou didst yet appear to him, thou didst come unto him, thou didst speak unto him in the way of mercy, in the way of grace, and thou didst reveal unto him a way, that way from the heaven to the earth, the way that thou hadst made. O Lord, that thou may look then upon each and every one of us. In this hour, give us to feel something of our own guilt. Thy servant had to flee from his own home, from his dear father and his dear mother. He had to flee even at the rage of his own brother. And Lord, thou in all thy good providence did work it all for good. For he was a child of thee. He was one of thy own elect. And thou hadst in store for him blessings eternal, blessings spiritual, blessings superior to all that can be received in this world. And then thou didst promise him that thou wouldst take care of him. Thou didst promise him that thou wouldst fulfill what thou hadst spoken unto his grandfather and to his father, even though their lives also were not clean in thy most holy sight. And yet thou didst fulfill thy own word, for thou art faithful, and it is thy own cause and the cause of thy dear and only begotten Son and thy church for a great and never-ending eternity. Lord, that thou mayst so also remember us then, that we may be counted the children of Abraham in spirit and in truth. We have a form of religion before thee. May it not be evil in thy most holy sight, even as Pharisees' form was evil before thee. And then thou didst say unto thy own disciples that they should hear what they say, that they should hear thy holy word through them, but not follow them, not do after their works. O Lord, that thou may teach us, each and every one, what the truth is in our heart, that we may be made upright and honest before thee, and that thou would show unto us the truth concerning our own life, that we are traveling to an eternity that will never end. Oh, bind it, Lord, upon the hearts of young and old together, that we may hasten for the sake of our life and not cleave to all that is here below and that is passing away. Then we must go through this world, but thou sayest we must not be of the world. Then we must make a living and live within the world, but our heart must not be attached unto the world. And that is the sin that lives in us. O Lord, that thou wouldst forgive our sins, and that thou would make us truly strangers and pilgrims here below, that we may seek a city that is foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and that we may learn thy truth when we are also very young, as children, as young people. For life is shorter than we believe, and it is also less certain than we believe. But wilt thou give us to believe thy word of truth, and that thou may give us also the love of thee born in our hearts, in a true regeneration, that our hearts may be drawn with longings and desirings of for thee and for thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, seek us out, Lord, who will never seek after thee, for thou must be the first, because we will never be the first, and thou must be the last, because thy people cannot uphold themselves and they cannot maintain that life that thou hast given unto them, oh, that they may also receive a little token from thy hand, from thy mouth in this day, that thou may feed thy people, that thou may remember those that are in great need in the midst of all the persecutions of the enemy, the arch enemy of thee, over the length and breadth of this whole world. Look upon them in thy mercy, also the state of Israel. When there is a war, Lord, oh, thou knowest the enmity that is in the world against that people. But thou art able to watch over and protect them and to fulfill what thou sayest thou hast yet in store for them, and that thou may draw many to thy footstool. Wilt thou also bless these means in thy hand, because it is all in thy hand. Bless it also unto them, O Lord, and wilt thou watch over the lives of all the people that are involved. For a life is a serious thing, of a man, of a woman, of a boy, of a girl, and so many have lost their lives already. And then to be deceived for a never-ending eternity. Remember those in Ukraine and other places of this world where there is fighting, where there is misery, where there are earthquakes. All the consequences of our sin show us how evil that sin is in thy most holy sight. And that thou mayest give us a true repentance. Remember our own nations here. Oh, bring us back again. We live in great prosperity, but that time must also be coming to an end one day, and then it will be tried. If thou wilt have mercy upon us, oh, that thou may remember us then and bring us back to thy word and to thy testimony with all that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou be with those that are in hospitals, that thou may remember them in Calgary, in Lethbridge, and all those that suffer needs and wants and cares of body or of mind, O Lord. Remember in thy mercy, it is all a consequence, it is all our own fault, and yet thou art a good-doing God, a merciful God, and a gracious God, and that thou may show that mercy and that grace and that goodness unto all that do suffer, and as so draw the hearts back unto thyself. Remember us as a class is when we hope to meet in the week, in this week, that thou may give traveling mercies to each one, bring safely home again at thy appointed time. Remember thy servant who is applying for emeritus status. Lord, that thou may remember him and be on his right and on his left in all the needs and the cares of his body, and that thou may supply for him in this time in the congregation that he will leave behind. Lord, that thou may send more servants into thy vineyard who are truly converted, wrought upon by thy Spirit, instructed in their sin and misery, and brought to a knowledge, a saving knowledge, of thee and thy dear and only begotten Son, who may be given that through a calling from thee to be sent forth in thy time to bring word and gospel, law and gospel in the midst of the congregations of our denomination and on the mission field. Do send them forth, Lord, for the sake of our rising generation, that there may be those to replace those who cannot bring that word anymore, and that thou may watch over us as a denomination, that the errors also wherewith we are attacked from different sides, especially our youth, oh, that thou may watch over us and give that thy truth, the tried truth, the truth of thy holy word, may be believed and may be received into the heart of a condemned worthy sinner. Oh Lord, that even when the understanding cannot grasp everything in thy holy word, that the love of thee may be born, for that will keep a man. It will keep him, it will protect him, it will preserve him, and that thou may remember our own school, help those that instruct and guide, and that thou may give thy blessing to our youth and all those that do travel, do bring to and fro each week the school board. Lord, remember all the needs in the midst of the congregation, the nursing homes, where they are and all that are therein and all that care for them, all doctors, nurses, care for all handicapped ones, all that are abused, and that thou may supply for all the needy in the midst of church and world. Be thou amongst us. Also in this hour, wilt thou be on our right and on our left in the preaching of thy holy word, in the leading of the singing, Lord, that thou may supply and give, that all together thy word may be quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and that it may be fruitful this day, that thy name may be glorified and honored, and that our souls may be delivered. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 115 all the stanzas, as pants the heart for streams of living water. So longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? We announce that the catechism for the post-high school students will begin next week, the Lord willing. The other classes will begin, the Lord willing, tomorrow evening. Psalter 115, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, what is one of the first feelings that accompanies true regeneration? That is lack. That is a missing. That is by the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of that true church of God. It can be that a person does not really understand at first even what he misses, what he lacks, thus only a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of vanity. We were not created vain. That is a consequence of our fall, that our heads are bowed over, and that man goes over the world looking only to the ground, looking only to the dust. Does that ever grieve you? Do you ever feel it? Does your eye ever look upward? Does your heart ever go out after your Maker? Does it ever go out after your Creator with an utter disappointment after you have sought all that was in this world? That is what Solomon said he did, and he had the ability to do it. And he took unto himself everything that his heart desired, he said. And then he said it was all vanity, and it was all vexation of spirit. Do you ever have a desire to receive substance? Because the Lord says, I will cause those who love me to receive substance. So substance, that is the opposite of vanity. That is the opposite of emptiness. That is, that have something has existence, real existence, real value, and true worth. And the Lord is going to cause those that love Him to inherit the things that are of such greater worth that can be found in this world. David said, my soul thirsteth for the Lord, for God. His soul longed for God, for the living God. Do you ever feel that same longing in your heart? There is no such missing in God. There is no such missing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Father, or in the Son. And yet the Lord Jesus, we can read, said, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He cannot miss. But he says, I will. Thus it is the will of Christ himself that he also may be with his people, that his people may be with himself. That is incomprehensible. But we find it also in the words of our text for this afternoon, which can be found in the Song of Solomon once again, in the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 6. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. So far, the words of our text. Christ promises his church his presence. First, the place of his presence. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense, the place of his presence. Second, the endurance of his presence until the day break and the shadows flee away. The endurance of his presence. Christ promises his church his presence, first the place, and second, the endurance of his presence. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. That is the words of the bridegroom after we have heard of all the commendations that he has given concerning his own bride, and after that he has expressed the beauty of his bride, how she looked in his eyes. And then he says, well, then I cannot resist, but my heart desires that I also may be with her and that she may be in my presence. But there is more than that, because this is actually an answer upon a petition of the bride herself. We read that in chapter 2, in the verse 17, that is the bride's request. She says, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now, Bether, we don't know of a particular mountain called Bether, but Bether means separation. So we see upon the crags of the rock, then we see these does, these deer, an animal that can run very quickly. And they are running there upon the rocks, and the bride, she sees these does, and she asks the Lord, she asks her bridegroom, if he would run as quickly as those speedy animals, as they run over those mountains. And she has a desire that the separation that she feels between herself and him, that would be taken away, and that he would come over those mountains of separation, and that she would dwell with her. Oh, do you feel something of those mountains of separation from him, that you say, Lord, oh, could those mountains of separation also be taken away? Because it is our own guilt. Do you ever feel that? That is separating between you and the Lord. That you say, Lord, wilt thou take away my guilt? And that thou would take away my sin? And that thou would come over those mountains as quickly as this roe or this young hart? And now in our text, Christ says, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. So it is an answer to her request, asking him to come over those mountains of separation. And then the Lord does not just say that he will come over those mountains of separation, but he actually tells her. He tells her where that he is going to go. He says where that he will meet her. Thus, when the Lord is giving an answer to his people, and then he is not stingy. No, it is just the opposite. But then they are receiving more than they are asking. Or ask the Lord's people, when they may receive something from him and that they have desired of him, and especially when they may receive from him that salvation for their poor soul, whether that is not so much greater, a greater depth and a greater breadth and a greater height than they have ever desired and that they have ever asked for from the Lord. Oh, thus he tells her where he is going to meet her. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense. So if the Lord, boys and girls, young people, if the Lord said now, if the Lord said now that he was going to be in a certain place, would you want to go there? Or maybe you say, if the Lord would be there with his majesty, if he would be there with those eyes of fire that we read of in the book of Revelation, then I think I would not want to be there. Then it will be for me like it was for the children of Israel when they stood before Mount Sinai. And then inside you say, then I feel immediately what my sin is. I feel something of my guilt. Everything begins to come back to me. How I live, how I have lived, what is living within my heart. But now, if we may know that the Lord is coming, and he would be in a certain place in his gentleness, in a certain place in his mercy, in a certain place with his grace, or would you want to go there? And the Lord says, I am going to be here such and such a day. I'm going to be there such and such a day. Oh, then would you want to set apart yourself from everything that is in this world? That you say, that is now the place that the Lord has said that he is going to be. Oh, do you ever feel such a desire? Such a longing in your own heart, because if there is now a missing, if there is a lack, then we feel that in our heart, then that is going to mean so much to us. Where the Lord says that his presence is going to be in the midst of this world, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. So he speaks about a mountain. And we read about this in the prophecies of Micah and of Isaiah. They write, both of them together, actually, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And then the Lord repeats that by his servant Micah. What does he speak of? He speaks about the church. Thus the church, his church, is typified by a mountain. And what would you say, boys and girls, a mountain? What would you say about a mountain? When you go to the mountains, then you say, well, that is something that is so very, very firm. That is something that is immovable. And so the church of God that is compared by the Lord to a mountain, and Satan is going to fight against that church, but there is no moving of that true church of God. It is established by the Lord, and that church is not able to be destroyed. Solomon's temple was built upon a mountain. Was built upon Mount Moriah. And the church itself that is called Mount Zion. Beautiful for situation, it is said. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Thus the mountain is often used to denote that church of God. But Solomon speaks here about the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. So He is distinguishing this mountain from all other mountains, because afterwards we read here he refers to the mountains of the leopards. It says Amana, Shinar, and Hermon, and then he calls them the lions' dens. That's the place where the lions are. They are places of great violence. There are the ravenous beasts. And now he distinguishes this mountain where he says that he is going to dwell, this mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Thus, it is a mountain of sweet spices, myrrh and frankincense. Where were they used? We can read about them in the temple, in the tabernacle, in all of the services of the Lord. Sweet spices. Thus, when those offerings were given, meat offerings, the offerings of the Lord by fire, then there was a savor. Then there was a sweetness, because there were aromas, and there were spices that were placed on these offerings, and thus there was a smell. And when they come into that sanctuary of the Lord, and they may smell it. You ever smell something? You ever smell something in the services of the Lord? That your senses, that the spiritual senses may be given to you, may be enlivened in the life of God's children, in the preaching, in the praying, in the singing, when we may sing, when we may hear that holy word of God. Oh, then do you ever smell something? Do you ever smell something that is so sweet that you say, this is so very, very precious? This is something that is so very, very beautiful. Ever smell that? Bunyan speaks about that. He speaks about that when that Christian, he is coming out of that city of destruction. Then he says, is there something shining there? He says, I think I see that. Maybe there are those now who say, I think I smell that sometimes. Children, can you smell that sometimes? Just a little bit. The preciousness, the sweetness that is in the service of the Lord. When you are very, very young, oh, do you know what the minister said to that pilgrim? He said, go toward that. Go toward it. What does that mean? That means meditate on that. Think about that. We would say, chew the cud and let that drawing, or ask the Lord to draw you more. Oh, the bride, she says, Lord, draw me. We will run after thee. That is what we need. Because if the Lord will draw our heart, and the affections of our heart are wrought upon, we may see the beauty, we may know the value, oh, we may feel the substance, then our heart will be drawn away from everything that has no substance. That everything that is vain, and will be drawn unto him who has all the substance to give unto us and to our children, the hill, the mountain of myrrh, and the hill of frankincense. When those coals were taken and put on the altar of incense, so that smoke that would go up, and that signified the prayer unto the Lord. Where did those coals come from? They had always to come off of the altar of burnt offering. And the Bible says that this is now a picture of the supplications of his church. Those supplications are based on something. What is it that is making that incense burn? That is the coals from the altar. It is the burnt sacrifice. It is the sacrifice. It is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, when the supplications of his church are arising off of this foundation, when that is now what is making them burn, when that is now the basis of their supplication, all the Lord says, that is now sweetness to me. That is like myrrh. That is like frankincense. We read about Noah after the destruction of the first wicked world. And the Lord spared him and he came out of that ark with his family. Then he set up an altar. And then we read that the Lord smelled something. The Lord smelled the sweet savor. And when the Lord smelled the sweetness of that sacrifice, then the Lord said in his heart, I will not destroy man any more with such a flood off of the earth. O congregation, that is bringing something forth in the heart of the Father. That is the sacrifices of his own Son. Did that ever now bring forth something out of our own heart? And that it is going out after him, and that the supplications, they are going unto the Lord based on this sacrifice, that it is sweet unto us what is sweet unto the Lord. Oh, then there is something emanating even from that people. It is a hope. It is a good hope through grace. It is a hope for reconciliation. It is a hope for the forgiveness of iniquity. Or it is the hope for the sanctification, the complete reconciliation. Then there is a savoriness, and now that enjoyment that is drawing forth all the affections of the bridegroom. It is drawing forth all the affections of the bride. David says, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. Oh, is it now any wonder that the Lord is calling this place where this may be a beautiful enjoyment between Christ and his church, a blessed communion? Is that any wonder? And that Solomon is calling this a mountain of myrrh and a hill of frankincense for all the aroma and that is coming and emanating from this place. So he says, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Or he says, I am going to get me, my bride, unto my Father's house of prayer. Oh, I am going to get me to the mountain of God's house. I am going to get me to the places of the institution that is of the Lord himself. I am going to get me to those places where my people are gathered together in prayer and in supplication before me in my name. And that is the place that I am going to be in the midst of them. Thus we have the promise. It is the promise of Christ to his church concerning that place where he is going to dwell, where he is going to meet with them. And he says, that is now desirable to me. That is now delightful to me when my people are dwelling there and when there is in them affection that is going out to me. When there is a cry in their heart, a continual cry, when there is a need in their heart, when there is supplication, when there is an altar of incense, and that cry is going out unto my Father, a place where there is need, the need of a soul, a desire, a people who cannot live in the midst of this world as they have lived all of their life. Oh, he says, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. That is now a direct answer. It is a direct answer to her petition. The Lord hears. The Lord hears the petitions of his people. Do you believe that? His people do not cry unto him in vain. No, he does not answer all prayer. No, there is much prayer that is loathsome to him. Oh, young people, you live in a time, it is in a certain way a blessed time. In a certain way a blessed time. Because we receive so many benefits that are above so many that have gone before us. It is also a time of the New Testament. And that is a time that is more blessed than the time of the Old Testament. Do you believe that? You say, I wish I could go back to the time of Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. No, do not ask for that. Because that was a time of the bud. That was the time of shadows, and we live now in a time of the open flower. And we may be so thankful that we live in this time. But it's also a time when the devil is going about. And he is going about as a roaring lion. And he is going about as an angel of light. And we hear things sometimes. And we even hear of prayer. And then they say, well, we are going to pray for this and we're going to pray for that. And it is a supplication for sinful pleasures in this world. Is that not possible? That is not possible. That is a stench. That is no supplication. That is a stench in the nostrils of a holy and a righteous God. There are also prayers that are not according to his will. But do you know what James writes? He says that we have a certainty. We have something that we know. We have something that we are sure of. That when we ask what is according to God's will, he heareth us. Now, what was this bride asking? Oh, Lord, wilt thou come? Wilt thou come over those mountains of separation? And wilt thou come near unto my soul? And that is now a supplication that the Lord answered. Why? Because it is those kind of supplications that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And James says, when we ask those things, when we desire those things, when our heart goes out after those things, he says, then we may be sure, we may be certain that the Lord heareth us. For I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Oh, you say, but is that really so? Is that really so that the Lord is dwelling in his house? Because, yeah. Because I don't feel that. I don't feel that. Is it now possible that the Lord would not do as he promises? Is that possible? It is not possible. Because that means that he would not be faithful. That means he would have lied. And the Lord is not a man that he should lie. And thus it is not possible. But when Jacob laid himself down, he didn't feel anything either. But in the morning when he arose, then he felt something. And then he said, Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not just because he didn't know. Does not mean that the Lord was not there. It is not just what we feel. It is not just what we know. It is not even what we believe. It is what the Lord says. It is his own word. It is the promise of the Lord. And that promise of the Lord is so sure that is like a mountain, an immovable mountain that cannot be moved. What does that mean? That means when we come together in that place of the gathering of that people of the Lord, then he says you come in the place of the mountain of myrrh and of the hill of frankincense. And now the Lord says, I will get me there. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to that hill of frankincense. Thus, when we come in that place, then there is no closer place that a man can be unto the Lord than under his institutions. And you say, I do not feel it. Who is going to experience this? Who is going to feel this? It is those whom the Lord plants a supplication. A supplication. It is those who come through that door with a hunger. Those that come through that door with a thirst, with a desire, with a need, who sit down in that bench and who do fold their hands and close their eyes and say, O Lord, I am in thy house. O Lord, I cannot miss thee. O Lord, this world is empty. O Lord, give me substance. A heart that is crying, a heart that is yearning, a heart that is longing, a heart that is missing, a heart that is lacking, and a heart that cannot be without him. And maybe you say, minister so many times, I have come up to this place and I have no answer. Why does the Lord not answer me? I do not know. I cannot give you an answer. But that does not mean that he is not here. That does not mean that you should stop. To stop to cry, to stop to long. Because the Lord is walking in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. And it is impossible that the Lord lies. Let us sing. 225. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. All the stanzas of 225. Christ promises his church his presence. First, the place of his presence. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Second, the endurance of his presence. What do we read? Until the day break and the shadows flee away. Thus we said that he said that he would be present in the mountain of myrrh and in that hill of frankincense. And how do we know that he will be? Well, we say that is because it is his own word. It is his own promise. It cannot be otherwise. But now the question, how is it that we may feel it? How does the Lord give that to his people that they may feel something of his presence in his house? And the Lord is so free in this. And he works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. But what do we read here in this portion? What did he say to the bride? He says, until the day break and the shadows flee away. That is something. That is something. You say, why? Does not sound like something special to me. No, maybe not to you and to me. But it was something to the bride. And why was that something very special to the bride? It is because he repeated her words. It is because the Lord came back to her and she heard her own very supplication. Thus the Lord showed to her that he had heard her. The Lord showed to her that he knew just where that she was. And he draws her back again to the very thing that she has asked of him. Congregation, did the Lord ever draw you back unto your very own supplication? Sometimes the church waits for a long time before they receive an answer. And sometimes they stop praying because they despair of an answer. Abraham or Abram and Sarai stopped praying and they took the matter in their own hands. And then 25 years after the Lord had spoken, when they long thought that the Lord had already accomplished his word through the means that they themselves had taken it in their hands to do, the Lord came back. The Lord came back. And then the Lord said, I heard you. I heard you. All those supplications, when you lay before me, they have come up into my ears. Oh, and then Abraham, what do we read? We read, he prostrates himself before the Lord. Oh, the Lord works in such a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Always to receive for himself the glory. And then that people, when the Lord is bringing them back again, to that place where they lay before him and the desires of their heart have gone out unto the Lord. And the Lord points to that. And then they feel how close that the Lord is. They feel how close that the Lord was. Then they say, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And they stand in awe. Jacob said, how dreadful is this place. Oh, when the Lord shows to that people, and we say, there is no, you cannot make that into a system. No. The Lord is so free, but that people will feel it and know it in their own heart. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. What is that? The day to break. Oh, the day break, that is the beginning of the day. That is the rising of the sun. That is when all the darkness is gone and all of the shadows are now gone. Oh, Christ speaks here about the present time. He says that is like the time of darkness, the night time. And now it can be that he refers to the Old Testament as the darkness and the New Testament time that is, that was as it were a daybreak, that day spring from on high that visit his church. But no doubt he is also going beyond this, that he looks further to the breaking of the eternal day. What does Paul say? He says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then he says, we shall see face to face. Oh, when that day breaks for the bride, then the marriage is consummated. Oh, then it is that wedding meal, that great feast is going to begin when that day breaks, and it is never going to end. Then there is never more going to be shadow for the church. There is never going to be more darkness for that church. They will not need the sun or the moon or the stars, we read, because the Lamb is going to be the light of that place. The Lord says, behold, I come quickly. Him that overcometh will I make to be a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar. Oh, do you see that, boys and girls, those pillars? The pillars in the temple of my God. He says, and they shall go no more out. Oh, they are standing there. They are standing there always in the temple of the Lord. Then he says, when that day is going to break, then that people is going to enter into that place where they are never, ever more going to leave. That is so unimaginable for us because we are of the earth, earthy. We can only keep that in our minds for a few moments to meditate. And it says, the eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, but the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Oh, it is going to be seen when? It is going to be seen at daybreak. It is going to be seen when the shadows flee away. Oh, then it is reserved, as it were. It is reserved to be revealed at the break of day. But until then, until the day break, until the shadows flee away, Christ says, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Is that not congregation? Such a wonderful promise unto the church of God, that they may know where that they may meet with him. Until all the shadows and all the darkness finally disappears. Oh, the Lord says, my church is not going to lack my presence. Oh, my ear that will be always open unto their cry until that day break. And I am going to be in that place where those supplications are arising, where they are coming up off of the coals of that altar, and when there is arising that smoke of incense, which is so sweet and savory in the nose of my own Father. Oh, do our supplications ever so arise that are pleasing to Him based on that mediatorial sacrifice of His only begotten Son. Oh, that is a privilege that is granted by moments by the Spirit of the Lord, a privilege granted by moments unto that true church of God. And when that takes place, then they feel something. You know what they feel? Oh, when the Lord gives it, then they feel how close. They feel how close that the Lord is. And that He is not far away. Oh, that thief on the cross may experience that. Even in the last moments of his life, when that hill of Calvary, that had become the mountain of myrrh, and that hill of frankincense, until the day break, and the shadows flee away, oh, that bride longed for that break of day. Do we ever long for it? Or is that not now part of that debt again? Of that true church of God, how far away that they can be from those longings. Christ Himself longs for it. Precious in the sight of the Lord, we read, is the death of His saints. Oh, the Lord, make us a people that are more heavenly minded. Oh, He will surely come, congregation. The break of day that is surely coming for that true church of God, that is going to end all their shadows. It is going to end all their trials. It is going to end all their tribulations. It has to come. Oh, that is what He says also in our text. Oh, it cannot be that the church of God is partially delivered. No, He says there is going to come a time when all the shadows, they are fled away. Oh, the church of God is going to be delivered completely from all the guilt of sin, but also from all the pollution of sin. All of the wretchedness, all of the consequences of sin, everything, a complete redemption, a complete victory unto that church militant. But until that day break, the church may find Him on the mountain of myrrh and on the hill of frankincense. Oh, let us come there also then. Let us come there also then continually with what is to Him sweet. What is that? What is that? That is the desire, the affection, and the longing. Not the custom. Not the custom, or merely the custom, but with earnestness, with truth, with need, with guilt, with sorrow, with repentance, and with desire. And then we are going to experience the truth of His promise. I will get me to that mountain of myrrh and to that hill of frankincense. Then you're going to feel it. Then you are going to know by times that He is not a liar, but that His word is true. And then you are going to marvel. You are going to say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt Thou come, wilt Thou visit us, give Thy Spirit, to send from within us those earnest longings, those earnest desires that are a sweet incense to Thee, and that Thou art not able to resist, but dost come to hear, dost come to answer. Humble us under all Thy gifts and the great freeness of Thy grace, the forgiveness and the passing by of iniquity. Make us ashamed of ourselves. Bring us safely through this week. Keep us in the rest of this day. Help us to keep Thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt Thou bless all that we may read and sing. Be Thou in the midst of the families, parents and children, and each and every one that is not able also to be here that do lay in the hospital. Keep us in this week at school, at work, and at home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 417, 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, Thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto Thy habitation, where, neath Thy wing, I'll be supplied with grace Thou wilt provide. 1, 2, and 3 of 417.
Thank you.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.